Wow. It really happened, guys. Chris Paul traded to the Phoenix Suns. We are here with an emergency edition, special bonus edition of Locked On Phoenix Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Give us a quick follow at Locked On PHX Suns over on Twitter and follow along. It's going to be an insane week already. It has been, I guess, but expect much more to come. Suns have some cap space. Suns still will have the 10th pick in the draft. Let's get into this trade, though, really quickly. Chris Paul heads to the Suns. I think that's the headline here, right? Chris Paul to Phoenix for, Chris Paul and Abdel Nader over to Phoenix and coming back to Oklahoma City, the package we had long assumed. Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre Jr., Ty Jerome, and then a couple additions, which are worth noting. Jalen McHugh and a 2022 first-round pick. That is a little bit unexpected. The LeCue part and the 2022 first. Let's do this first. Let's get to the main additions, and then I'll hit some of those fringier parts of what happened, the LeCue and the 2022 first. I think that's a little bit interesting here. The biggest deal is that the Suns have Chris Paul on their team. I talked about it in my solo show last week, and I talked about it with just about every guest we had on my first week re-hosting the show last week, but the fit's incredible, guys. The fit is incredible. In Paul, the Suns get a guy who increasingly has become comfortable off the ball, a guy who, since we saw him play with Blake Griffin, even, which is several seasons now, has become, a pretty knockdown three-point shooter, a spot-up player who you could trust off the ball with Devin Booker. I like the fit there. I think defensively, he's pretty similar to what Ricky Rubio gave you, not a guy who's, because he's in his mid-30s now, not a guy who's going to go out there and defend elite opposing playmakers. This is not the guy we saw, defend Tony Parker in the playoffs, for instance, but go toe-to-toe with Kobe Bryant, just doing every single thing for his Hornets teams back in the day in that seven-game first-round series that kind of put Paul on the map. That's not that player. It's a player who I actually think is more comfortable even playing with a secondary sort of co-playmaker here, which is what's awesome about this fit. The Suns have one. The Suns have that guy. His name's Devin Booker, and he's a heck of a player, a hell of a running mate for Paul. So that part of it is perfect to me. I think as a clutch shot maker, playmaker, kind of orchestrator, Paul's about as perfect and good as it gets still, even in the later years of his career here. I think that's an area that was understated about why the Suns were not able to pull things off when games were close last season. You saw Kelly Oubre have to chuck in a ton of shots, make key buckets for the Suns to win games, Ricky Rubio forcing shots. So that's sort of where I feel like Paul's maybe biggest value might be on the floor is late in games, assuming that the Suns can put together a rotation around him to protect him a little bit, allow him to play limited minutes. You don't want him to get up there every single night, so hopefully that comes in free agency. But if he can stay healthy and he can be at his best sort of within a game by the end of it, then you're looking at a player who's going to actually be the only player Devin Booker's ever played with who could legitimately make a claim to taking some of those late game possessions, taking the ball out of Booker's hands. You expect Booker's still going to be the guy doing that, but to even have another option there is humongous for Booker and for this team. So, of course, you get all the other great parts of this. It'll kind of, like Rubio, be pretty awesome for the development of Bridges, Johnson, Ayton, whoever the Suns take at 10. This is a guy who is going to command the respect of his teammates, is going to be very no-nonsense, has a built-in relationship with Jeff Bauer and with Monty Williams from New Orleans, served on the Players Association Executive Committee with James Jones back in the day. Obviously, these guys have competed against one another for a long time. I'm sure they have a relationship as well. So, look, I feel like, from an on-court perspective, a nearly perfect fit. Let's flip over to the other side of things here and talk about what the Suns are losing. Ty Jerome, a guy who I really just had a lot of concern about. If I were a Suns fan right now, I would not be too burnt out on losing Ty Jerome. I don't imagine many of you are. This is a guy who, once he got onto an NBA court, it looked like a It looked like a legitimate question if he was going to be able to cut it physically. That was a question coming out of Virginia, and last year he just really, really looked overwhelmed. So maybe that's a development project that the Thunder are going to be better at pulling off than the Suns may have been, but not a problem if I'm the Suns front office to lose Jerome. 2022 first round pick is the other interesting part to me. So as I said when we talked to Jackson, we went over the fits at number 25 because I saw the line in the sand for the Suns as you're going to be asked for the 10th pick. Sam Presti and the Thunder are going to come and say, okay, we know this has to be Oubre, Rubio, and Jerome. Let's get the 10th pick on Wednesday. And that's just too good of a pick to give up straight up in this draft. So I thought, okay, maybe the line in the sand here is a pick swap. James Jones can say, no, I'm not going to give you 10 straight up. That you really don't have the leverage to pull that from me. Because who else is trading for Chris Paul? We literally have not even heard of another team in legitimate talks. There's not a really obvious other fit that Paul could move to a competitive team, a playoff level team, which, by the way, guys, this is that. It's kind of insane to say the Suns team is firmly in the playoff conversation now. Holy crap. That feels sort of crazy to say after endless games of Shaq Harrison and Dragan Bender on the floor. So for my longtime listeners, you know I've been here with you all the way through. So this is just as wild for me to imagine as it is for you guys. But that's where I would have said if I was Jones, because Paul wanted to come here. We know that Presti gave him the ability to go out and find partners in trades and find a suitor that he wanted to land in. That's huge, right? The Paul wanted to be here. But what it meant in the trade discussions likely is that 10 just wasn't really going to be on the table, because James Jones could say, okay, find another package where you're going to get an asset as good as the 10th pick this year. And there really wasn't one. That's the truth. I doubt the Knicks were going to give up 8. I doubt anyone was going to give up any pick higher than that or any better asset long past this year. So look, that's where I would imagine this went. I would imagine that, look what it means to me. 2021 first round pick to me would probably be the second best asset that the Thunder could have asked for outside of Ayton and Booker and Bridges and Johnson. And so look, Jones didn't even give that up, nor did he give up the pick swap. He was able to keep 10, keep his 2021 first round pick in house, and all he gave up was the 2022. I don't know how that class is going to be. I hope you guys don't expect me to be well scouted on the high school juniors, but I know 2021 is a strong, strong class, and I know that this year 10 is just too high of a pick. So kudos to James Jones for holding out for 2022. That's very, very strong negotiating as far as I'm concerned. And Jalen Lecque, I think that's probably kind of the maybe what Presti backed up with. Okay, we'll take your 2022 first. We won't ask for these better picks. We won't be obnoxious. We know we don't have the leverage here, but what we are going to do is ask for Jalen Lecque. And that's a player that kind of fits how the Thunder like to, the types of players they like to target, right? Lecque, a very toolsy, hyper-athletic, very young player who really doesn't have much in the way of skill or shooting. That's sort of the Thunder's MO. They like to try to develop those guys. We just saw Lou Dort break out in the playoffs, very similar type of guy. So look, Lecque's not the headliner here, but I think it is interesting because he was a guy that I know Suns fans were intrigued by, and we wanted to kind of see what he could become. We know the Suns really liked him, signing him the day after draft, or the minute after the draft ended, basically on draft night last year. But look, you give up guys like that if it means getting Chris Paul and putting yourself in the playoff conversation. Let's finish up here by saying a little bit about Oubre and Rubio. I struggle with talking about Oubre with Suns fans because, look, we all know the impact. I think it will not be forgotten. If this is a situation that puts the Suns on the table in the playoff race next year, and I firmly believe it does, I think this is a team that's considerably better than the Kings or next year's Trailblazers. No respect to Damian Lillard, but that team is so thin still and does not have very many moves to make. Better than the, Timberwolves, better than the Spurs, better than... They're at least going to be in this play-in tournament next year, guys. If everybody stays healthy would be my guess. And I think that's hard to argue. It's hard to see them not being in that conversation with such a talented and pretty deep roster, all things considered. But what it means to me is, you know, what I was going to say is you're going to look back on the trade for Oubre when the Suns do, hopefully, after all of us watching for so long without the playoffs, if they do it this year, we're going to think back to that Oubre trade, right? I mean, you guys listening, you must be feeling similarly. He gave life to this awful, you know, kind of broken organization that was in shambles, fired its general manager a few months prior to his trade, did not have much of a vision for the future outside of Booker and Ayton. And Oubre gave life to the team. I mean, he was the most exciting player on that roster outside of Booker for that entire rest of the season. Instant fan favorite, Valley Boys, had fans waiting outside in 100 degree heat to buy merch, and somebody that we all gravitated toward. Just such an awesome personality, such a genuine person, just a personality that anyone who followed this team is not going to forget getting to cheer for. And I imagine Suns fans will be rooting for him in Oklahoma City too. That's disappointing to lose, but at the end of the day, guys, look, the reality is this is a player who has limitations. I really like him. I mean, I do. I know I've been lower on him than most throughout doing this show, but I really like him as a player. I think he's clearly good. He's made obvious strides as a decision maker, as a defensive player, as a shooter. If he can keep getting better as a shooter, he's a legit 3-and-D player. And you know, maybe a player Oklahoma City doesn't even intend to lose. I think they'll shop him at the trade deadline next year and continue to add to their rebuild with picks and young players that they're building up, which is just insane. I think this is their 17th, I think I heard this, 17th first-round pick over the next few seasons. Insane that they're doing this. But Oubre, I would imagine, would be on the trade market. But he's more likely to stay than I think you would expect, because he is so young still, and they do. I mean, every team needs wings, right? So a young wing on a team that's building with Shea and the rest of their talent, Darius Bazley, I think that's not a lock that he leaves. And if he plays well, you could see them maybe retaining him. They'll have his rights and all that. But a guy that Suns fans will be sad to lose, but a player that is ultimately the cost of doing business in a trade like this. You can't give up. You can't get great players without giving up good ones or great ones in return. So here's two awesome seasons with Kelly Oubre. Disappointing the way that it broke down. Hopefully his knee is recovering well and that he does continue, that he can get back on the floor and get into free agency healthy after a good season next year, maybe even land on a contending team at the trade deadline. But we will not forget Kelly Oubre on this program anytime soon. I know Suns fans won't either. So just a quick message about him, because I know he's a fan favorite and for good reason. So to finish up, let's go through Rubio. I don't really mind it. I mean, look, to call it an upgrade to go from Ricky Rubio to Chris Paul is about as big of an understatement as you could make. Rubio, I think I was higher on than a lot of fans, to be honest, or than a lot of people who followed this team, whatever you want to say. I just really liked him. I thought what he did as a team defender, as a guy who can dictate pace, as a guy who can knock down spot up threes in an underestimated way. I think that the people who kind of cover the NBA just wrote him off as far as an offensive finished product. Can't finish, can't get to the free throw line, can't shoot, just passes. We all know that's very, very far from the truth. This is a guy who's been about league average as a spot up shooter for a few years now, maybe a little below league average, but capable. You can't leave him open necessarily. He's going to make wide open shots. Especially when he has the time to get his slow release off. He's a guy who rebounds really well, moves the ball well, and played incredible team defense. And obviously, we know the impact he had as a leader, right? We know, kind of like Oubre, honestly, to me, a player whose impact cannot be underestimated if the Suns do end up in the playoffs next season as part of the reason that they got there. He's not a vocal guy, you know, didn't grow up in America, maybe can't necessarily relate to everybody in that locker room, but the way he related to them was showing them how to win, showing them the habits, the fact that it's a daily process, the fact that it's a slow build. I'll never forget talking to Rubio after losses, and he was the most collected guy in that locker room, bar none. bar none. He would have, I mean, it almost felt like a canned response, but I know it was genuine. He was a guy who felt like the routine of losing close games, disappointing yourself. Like, think back to that when the Suns lost to the Pistons. Remember, they last year they were on the trajectory toward maybe finally overcoming some ground and getting back into the playoff conversation after the All-Star break, and then they come back home and I think they lost to the Warriors and Pistons. That's the stretch of the season that it basically was over. You know, then it got shut down a few weeks later, but that ended their playoff hopes basically. And Rubio talked to the media for like 20 minutes after practice or shoot around following those games. And his tone, his message was the same as it had been all year. This is the long game. This is what we came here for. This is what we knew we were building. And his consistency, his attitude, his perspective were invaluable to this team as they built through last year. And I'm sure guys in that locker room will not forget the lessons that they gleaned from him over the past season, whether that's Booker or Ayton, who really, really loved playing with Rubio. But look, at the end of the day, as important as he was, you're not giving up. You're not holding out Rubio as a guy you're not willing to give up in a trade for Chris Paul, especially because they play the same position. If this was a guy who happened to play power forward, then truly I might have wanted to keep Rubio. If it was the same sort of player at a position that didn't overlap with Paul's, then yeah. But look, you're not going to play those guys together. That doesn't make a ton of sense. And at the end of the day, Paul's a major upgrade. He brings a lot of those same off-court value propositions to this team as well. He's a guy, I think his leadership style is going to be a little bit different. I think he's going to be a little bit more I'm aggressive, not in the term of like a violent dude or in people's faces, but aggressive as opposed to passive. I think Rubio is a little more passive. Paul will be a little more aggressive, more demanding, more, you know, rah-rah sort of telling folks what to do rather than leading by example. But there's no problem with that. Paul's earned the benefit of the doubt, right? So Rubio's going to be missed, I think, as well, but you got Chris Paul. Chris Paul is on this team. I'll close out the show, guys. Again, I do think this makes the Suns a playoff contender, so just pour yourself a drink and toast to that today. That is the top line news. That's incredible. It's going to be so much fun to watch Chris Paul. I'm sure you all are very, very much looking forward to that. But I'll close out on a little bit of a balanced note here, not to make anybody upset. But the reality is that Chris Paul is going to be a health risk. That was probably the biggest takeaway from last season, was that he did not get hurt. And that's no guarantee going forward. So I would say just, that's the only downside to me here. You lose out on cap space a little bit in 2021 because Paul makes so much money. I'm not too worried about that. There's ways to create space. The Suns still have trade assets. They have a ton of young players, and they have also, like I said, the number 10 pick this year and the 2021 pick next year that they can use still to make trades. And that'll probably be their best means of upgrading the roster going forward. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that, the cap space thing. The real concern here is Paul was healthy last year because they were able in Oklahoma City to insulate him. They had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder, and guys like that on the floor that could make up for him, play in place of him. They did a lot of the same things. So Paul didn't have to overexert himself. He was able to play off the ball some, didn't have to defend opposing playmakers. The Suns have the ability to protect him in some of those same ways. I think they will. But the reality is that he's almost 35 years old and is a guy who you can't necessarily trust to make it through a season without getting a little bit nicked up. So that's the hope. You have to just cross your fingers that Paul can stay healthy. This is a guy who, even before he got older, was tended to be in some sort of injury situation by the end of the season. That's just the reality of him. It's not to say it's not manageable, but it is something to keep an eye on, something the Suns will have to work on, something that is going to say a lot about whether they are, you know, a 4, 5, 6 seed like Oklahoma City was last year, or whether they are looking more at that play-in tournament, the 7, 8, 9, 10 range, and in a little bit more challenging territory in the playoff race. But either way, the fact that they are even going to be there is cause for celebration. Enjoy today, Suns fans, and we'll see what they do next. So they have a pick to make at number 10 on Wednesday, and they also have a ton to decide on here in free agency with the cap space maintained, all things considered. That is a huge victory to add two more good players to this roster before the week's over, at least. We will be right here with you. Follow us at Locked On PHX Suns and stay tuned to your feeds. Keep your eyes glued. Anything else you put out, anything else that you see, I will put out an episode for, and we'll be right here together. I hope you are excited. I am as well. And let's go.